Well, this past week on Tuesday, and then again on Wednesday because of a computer problem, we celebrated that grandest of all holidays, Tax Day. April 15th rolls around every year, and like I told the kids, when it falls on a Sunday, they bump it. It was on Tuesday, and then again on Wednesday. We pay our federal and state income taxes. This is a tax levied on the amount of money we earn. Every year this day rolls around, and every year we dread it more than the last. Nobody likes Tax Day. There aren't Tax Day parties, right? You don't get dressed up as your favorite tax collector, go to the bar for a big party. That doesn't happen. We dread it every year. For years, as my own subtle form of protest, when I would go to mail my taxes in, I would get that little stamp from the post office that had the American flag on it, and I would turn it upside down and put it on the envelope. It's the international sign of distress. My own little protest right there at the post office box. Threw it in the box. Nobody likes Tax Day. We dread it more than a dental appointment and a proctology exam on the same day. Now, I understand the purpose of taxes. They are the communal price we pay to live in a civilized society. Together, we combine our resources so that we are provided with benefits and services. For instance, I could not pave the roads. Couldn't do it. I don't have enough money, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough knowledge, I don't know how to pave. But I do like paved roads. They're important so that I can travel, get to work, go to the grocery store. I love paved roads. When I went to Haiti 7 years ago, they don't have paved roads in Haiti. Where I was at up in the mountains, there were dirt roads. Now, when I say dirt road, you and I think about rural Kansas or rural Missouri, and we think of gravel roads. Well, gravel roads are fancy. In Haiti, we had dirt roads made out of just dirt, right? Not even fancy dirt, not even special dirt. It was just dirt. And when you added water to it, it became mud. We had to go from the village that we were in to a village that was 15 miles away. It took us almost 3 hours by truck to get there because the roads were so bad. There were potholes in the road as big as my house that we had to drive around or down through. It took us three hours to go 15 miles. I live 15 miles from the church. If it took me 3 hours to get here every day, we would have a problem. That is a long time. I like paved roads. I like them a lot, and so I must pay taxes. And you must pay taxes. And our taxes are gathered up and combined with millions of other taxes, and roads are paved so we can get where we're going. Police officers are hired so our communities are safe. Firefighters are trained so that our houses don't burn down. The military's maintained so that we're protected, and so on and so forth. Taxes are important if we want to live in a civilized, well-maintained society. I have been to other countries. I have seen some of the other options, like unpaved roads and a lack of police officers or firefighters. It is not pretty. It is not how I wish to live. So, of course, I pay my taxes so these things can be provided. But is there more to taxes than even this? More that I don't see? For this day, which we dread every year, is there something that we might be missing? As I told the kids, taxes have been around since the beginning of time. Anytime that you have had someone in charge and other people who aren't, there have been taxes of some kind. In feudal societies, ancient societies, biblical societies, all had taxes. That's why we find this conversation in the Gospel of Matthew today. Jesus and his followers talking about taxes. Now, the Pharisees had come to Jesus to catch him. They wanted to entrap him in some way. In this section of Matthew, three times they will come and ask him a question. that if he answers it the wrong way, they can have him arrested. They've already decided they want to kill him. They just need to figure out a way to make it happen now. So they come to him and they say, "Teacher, we know that you're sincere and you teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one." They're being sarcastic, not flattering, but right there. "Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? What say you, Jesus?" Now, they're not talking about all taxes here. They're actually talking about a specific tax. At this time, it would have been called the census tax. And this was a tax that fell on everybody who was under the control of the Roman Empire. It was a tax that had to be paid in coin. You could not pay it in goods or in trade. So while I could pay some of my taxes by taking one of the cattle from my herd or by taking some of the grain from my field, for this tax, for the census tax, I had to get a Roman coin to pay it. And the Jews had a problem with that because the Roman coin, as I mentioned to the kids, had an image on it. The image was of the emperor. But the problem they had was with the inscription on the coin. The inscription said, "Tiberius Caesar, August son of the divine Augustus, high priest." The coin declared that Tiberius, as Caesar, was divine. He was godlike. And the Jews saw that as a problem. If we give that coin in honor of the emperor, that's blasphemous. That's idolatry. So there were a group of Jews who didn't want to pay it. Now the Pharisees knew that one of the groups supporting Jesus the most were the Zealots. The Zealots had come about in the Jewish religion when this census tax was first put in place in the year 6. When it was first put in place, the Zealots rose up. These were people who wanted to overthrow the Roman government and reestablish Israel as its own kingdom. They believed that's what Jesus was going to do, because what did Jesus talk about all the time? The kingdom of God is coming. So the Zealots were behind Jesus. So the Pharisees had to be careful here. They didn't want to upset the Zealots because they didn't want the Zealots to be against them, no telling what they might do. But they needed to find Jesus guilty. So here was their hope. They ask him, "Do we have to pay this census tax?" Because they know the Zealots don't want to pay it. So if Jesus says, "Yes, you have to pay it," the Zealots won't support him anymore and they can get to Jesus easier. Or he's going to say, "No, you don't have to pay it." In which case, they have the Herodians with them who are loyal to King Herod, and they'll arrest Jesus for telling people you don't have to pay the tax. So they've laid this trap out for Jesus. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's and to God the things that are God's." A couple things go on here. First of all, notice who had the coin. The Pharisees come and ask this question about should we pay the census tax. Jesus doesn't have a coin on him with this image. The disciples don't have a coin on them. He has to ask the Pharisees for this coin. They already have it. They already have it because they're in league with the Roman government. They're already in bed with them. So they already pay this tax. It's not a big deal to them. So he knows they have a coin on them. So he asks for it. Give me your coin. And then he shows them the image. And he said, "Whose image is this?" And they said, "Well, that's the emperor's." And he said, "Then give to the emperor that which is the emperor's." But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, "And give to God that which is God's." If the coin is Caesar's because it is in his image, then what is Jesus saying to us? What do we have that is in God's image that we should be giving to God? If the coin is in Caesar's image and belongs to Caesar, and Jesus says, "And everything that is God's, give to God's," what is made in God's image? Well, you and I are. Our very selves, our very lives, the whole of us is God's. Give your coin to Caesar, but give your life to God. Pay your tax to Caesar, but give your whole self, everything you are, everything in your life, that's made in God's image. Give that to God because it belongs to God. We pay our taxes willingly or not, but do we give the rest to God? All that we are, all that we have, all that is our life? To talk of taxes is to talk of cost. What is the cost of something? I have a job that pays me a salary, so therefore I make money. So there's a cost for that, a tax that I have to pay. I have a house. There's a cost to that, a tax that I must pay. But even beyond the property tax that I pay on my house, owning a home includes a tax on my time, a tax on my energy, a tax on my resources, a tax on my priorities and my attention. I own a car. I own a couple cars. There's a cost involved. Yes, I pay personal property taxes, but even more than that, there's a cost of maintenance, of upkeep, of repairs. Often when we have something, there is a tax for having it. Whether it is a literal tax that we pay to a municipality or a county or a state or a federal entity, or whether it is a cost of our time and our resource and our attention, there is a tax for having. For instance, I've been married for 25 years. I love my wife dearly. I have a wonderful relationship with her. And for having that relationship, there is a tax that I pay. Not a literal tax that I pay to the government, but a tax of time and attention and compromise. Last night, my wife wanted to go see the stage production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella down at Johnson County Community College. I would have been happy sitting on the couch eating Fritos and rewatching Captain America Civil War. But I love my wife. I love our relationship. So there is a tax that I pay, a cost that comes with that. I have to give something to that, right? I may not, trust me, if I wasn't married to Jackie, I would not have been in Johnson County last night. I would have been eating Fritos on the couch. But because we have this relationship, there's a cost I'm willing to pay that I say, I'm going to give up a couple hours of my Saturday night because she really wants to go see this. And she does the same for me. On Saturday morning, we went out to breakfast, and I was looking on my phone, and I found a garage sale that had comic books listed at it. It was downtown, and I said, want to go to a garage sale? And she said, no, but I will. It's the tax we pay for being in a relationship that we want. We want our relationship to remain strong, so we both have to give, we both have to pay that cost into it. There is a connection between having and tax. When you have something that is valuable to you, a relationship, an object, a job, a society, when you have, then there's a cost, a tax that you pay to continue having. We could stretch this analogy to our faith. We talk of salvation and righteousness and grace. These things we often say are free to us, but they're not. There is a cost for them. There is a tax that had to be paid for our salvation, for our righteousness, for our forgiveness. That tax was not paid by us, though. That tax was paid by Jesus for us. We have these articles of faith, and for them there is a cost, a tax that Jesus paid on the cross. And that is where we start to see the importance of taxes, not in what they provide, but in what they reveal. Taxes reveal what we have. They reveal how we are blessed. My wife gets a newsletter in her email every week called The Daily Stoic. Ironically, called The Daily Stoic, and it comes once a week. I don't quite understand that, but that's just somebody being lazy, I think. But this was written in it last week, and I found this interesting. It said, taxes are an inevitable part of life. There is a cost to everything we do. Income taxes are not the only taxes you pay in life. They are just the financial form. Everything we do has a toll attached to it. Waiting around is a tax on traveling. Rumors and gossip are the taxes that come from acquiring a public persona. Disagreements and occasional frustrations are taxes placed on even the happiest of relationships. Stress and problems are tariffs that come attached to success. And on and on and on. There's no reason or time to be angry about any of this. Instead, we should be grateful. Because taxes, literal or figurative, are impossible without wealth. We have. And we are blessed for having, even as we pay the tax on what we have. Far too often we get fixated on the tax and we lose focus on what we have, on what we should be grateful for, on what we should be thankful for. Yes, I have to pay personal property taxes on my car in addition to the tax of maintaining it and repairs, but I have a car. I have more than one car. Somebody walked in this morning and said, you drive your wife's car? I said, yes, I drove my wife's car. It was behind mine. I took my wife's car. I had some choices this morning. Only 27% of people on the planet Earth own a car. I am blessed beyond belief that I have a couple cars. I should be thankful. Thank you, Lord, that I have this ability to get around, to go to the grocery store, or the movie theater, or to work. Yes, I have to pay property taxes on my house. In addition to the tax on my time and my attention, but I have a house. Only 67% of people on the planet do. That's over 2 billion people that do not have a house. I am blessed beyond belief, Lord, to have this thing that shelters me and my family. Yes, I have to pay sales tax on my purchases, but I have purchases. I get to buy things. I get, no matter how silly it is, I get to spend my money on comic books. Yes, I have to pay an income tax. But I have a job. A good job. A job that I love doing, that I'm called to do, that I get paid to go do. How blessed am I, dear Lord, to serve you and get a salary? Yes, we had to pay our taxes this week. Yes, I owed like I owe every year. I haven't gotten money back on my taxes since my 20s, when I finally realized I didn't want to use the federal government as a savings account. Not a good idea. So I pay every year. I have to pay something. Sometimes there's good years. Sometimes my CPA and I sit down and it's a good year. And I just got to pay a little. Sometimes it's a less good year, and I have to pay more. But how blessed am I? How blessed am I to have to pay this tax? This tax that reveals my blessedness. It is not dread that we should approach tax day with, but thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should fill my heart when I sit down to do my taxes and see all that God has blessed me with. Happy tax day. We are blessed.